Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 here this morning. Take a look at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell up among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Take a look down in verse 24. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed the tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat that is with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable, verse 31. Verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for another Sunday to be able to be in your house, in your place. I know, Father, that during this time you dwell within us, but it's good to have a building where we can come and meet, to be out of the weather, to have a place to sit down, hear the Word of God preached. To be able to sing, Father, unto Thee, to be able to set aside the cares of the world and just concentrate on ourselves spiritually for a little while. Pray that You might help us do that this morning. Once again, pray that You might set me aside. Pray that You might minister unto Your people that are here. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in the Bible, obviously, that the Lord uses illustrations of farming. Amen? And illustrations of growing to help us understand life. I'd like to preach to you this morning just a easy, simple little message about understanding and controlling really the direction of your life. In other words, what your life produces. Before we get started, let me qualify it by saying this. As an occupation or a hobby, I am not a farmer. Not even a gardener. If I was, most of you would starve. But as most of you, I do realize that in life, there are some basic skills from various occupations that you and I can learn from. Amen? We can take those skills and we can apply them to our life, even though we may not be experts in that. Oh, this is a bad pun. I didn't even think about it. In that field. For those of you that do have expertise in this area, praise the Lord for it. Amen. I hope you take that knowledge and you think about it and you mull it over in your mind and you use that knowledge in the things that you've learned in your particular field, especially growing and farming, but any other field. Use the things that you've learned as a way to help Christians grow. Amen. I mean, there's certainly lessons that you can take from things that you're knowledgeable about that you can make spiritual applications to. The Lord did that all the time. So while many of us are not farmers by trade, every one of us has at least a little bit of farmer in us when it comes to life. Amen? We, you know, there are certain things that we ought to know about and certain things that we need to think about when it comes to planning the direction of our life looking for fruit in our life. And as the Bible says, you and I have to follow the principles of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Today, I just want to preach a short message on germination or termination. Germination or termination. Before we come back to Matthew chapter 13, turn with me, if you will, to Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. This is awesome. It is a time of year when I need to get the fan out. Galatians chapter 6, take a look down in verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That is just good practical advice. The principle of sowing and reaping is something that, even though we're not farmers, every one of us obviously is, is under. It is something that follows, something that we have to be aware of. Let's take a little closer look at this process and see how we can use what farmers and gardeners know instinctively through study and practice, and how we can apply that to our Christian lives. Now, the whole process starts, obviously, with planting a seed. Amen? It's simple. It's something that, something that happens. We have to, we have to take that seed, you plant it, and then there's something that's happened to that seed, something called germination, right? What is germination? Most of you, are very familiar with this, but it's the process by which an organism grows from a seed, right? How does a seed grow? What are we talking about here? We're talking about the principle of reaping and sowing in our lives, right? We're talking about the direction that we want to take our Christian lives. And while we're going through this illustration, I want you to be thinking in the back of your mind of certain seeds and certain things that have been planted in your life, be they good or bad, because the principle of reaping and sowing works both ways. Amen? I mean, we use it and we think of it in the negative connotation a lot of times. Oh, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And we think of it as a bad thing. But ladies and gentlemen, it works just as much in a good thing. Amen. Right? If you want seeds to grow, if you want to plant good seeds, that principle of reaping and sowing works in those good things in your life as well. But we'll take a look at that process. How does a seed grow? Well, obviously, you got to start with a seed, right? Luke defines a seed this way. He says, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Now, that'd be a good seed, right? Here in Matthew, the seed is defined as the children of the kingdom in Matthew 13:38. The field is the world, the good seed of the children of the kingdom. For today, the seed is whatever things you're trying to grow in your life, or whatever things have been planted in your life. And that ground that we're growing them in, obviously, is our heart. Amen? Now, that seed has an outer layer known as the seed coat. And inside that seed is everything that's needed in order for that thing that's been sown inside of you to begin to grow. Right? All it needs is the right conditions. You plant that seed, you give it the right conditions, and that thing gets planted in your heart, and it begins. Germination begins with imbibition. Wow. I didn't even know what that word meant. That's a big word for me. It means taking in water. Who didn't? But now you know it's imbibition. Yeah. It begins with taking in water, right? That's the major trigger to start the period of that seed waking up from its dormant state. And that seed begets that seed gets bigger. It begins to produce enzymes. Those enzymes are protein that ramp up the metabolic process. And it breaks down that endosperm into food nutrients for that seed to start growing. And as you begin that process, ladies and gentlemen, you plant that seed and it's just sitting there. You go through your Christian life, you get exposed to something. Good or bad. And for a while, it's just sitting there. Amen? I mean, you come to church, you hear a message, and maybe there's some great, 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 great things in the message. But that message is nothing more than just a seed. And you can sit here every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And if that seed never gets to the point where it begins to germinate, nothing really happens. Amen? Right? You can be exposed to things that are evil or things that are wicked out there in the world. And if those things, even though that seed was planted, if you don't give it the right conditions, it never begins to germinate. All right? But that seed gets planted in your heart. And things begin to happen if the right conditions are in place. Things begin to happen. Germination begins. And what happens is that seed begins to grow a radical. And that radical is the first part of the root system that begins to break out of that seed. Right? It begins to emerge. That's kind of the first signs that you see of germination taking process. Now, this is where, brethren, this is where things, again, that ground for the purpose of today is your heart. Right? This is where things that you're exposed to, good or bad, begin to start taking root. You come to church, you hear a message on whatever, something that's, on being compassionate, being kind. And that's a seed that's planted. That's what you get when you come to church. You just get a seed. The Lord takes that thing and He plants it in your heart. And He's looking for the right conditions for that germination process to start. And when that thing starts, that radical just breaks out of that seed and it begins to form that little root. Notice how that root begins to grow and to penetrate deeper and deeper into the recesses of your heart. Now, the interesting thing that you need to think about, sometimes Christians, you come to church, you hear a sermon, folks, you get impatient. You ask, why isn't this helping me? I heard the sermon, I agreed with the sermon, and a couple days later, still nothing has changed. I notice this process taking place here, this germination. When I look at the surface of that soil right there, you don't see anything yet. Right? This whole process, brethren, of living the Christian life and developing good Christian traits and good Christian habits, sometimes you want them and they're in there. And sometimes we kind of get frustrated because it doesn't happen as quick as we think it should. But nonetheless, the germination process, again, if you have the right conditions, has already begun, even though you don't realize it. You look at that ground from above, and you don't see a thing happening, right? Amen. While you're worried about what's going on in your life, day five rolls along. This happens to be a kidney bean, and you still see very, very little evidence of what's going on. But look at what's happening in the recesses of your heart. Germination. It's starting. This process is going. For this kidney bean, day six rolls along, and you begin to see more and more growth, but you still see very, very, very little evidence on the outside. Amen? Now, later on in day 7, for this particular kidney bean, it started to break the surface a little bit. But look at that root structure that you have in place already. Before you begin to see anything at all on the outside. What are we talking about? We're talking about germination or termination, right? The things in your life that you're exposed to, the things that you, that the Lord deals with you about, or it could be good, it could be bad. There could be something bad that you're exposed to that gets in that heart and molds itself around and begins to grow those tentacles and take those roots. And you know what? You can go for a while. Now, kidney beans grow kind of fast. We're talking day 7. Spiritual things, that may be year 7. Or week 7. Or month 7. Spiritual things sometimes take a little bit longer, but you can be exposed to things that are positive or negative, and they can be planted in your heart spiritually, and those roots begin to grow out and expand and take a hold of your heart long before you begin to see any real evidence on the outside. Is the general way things grow. I know there's exceptions. But it's interesting how this process works. So by day 7, you have this whole root system that's already been established and begun to grow down there under the ground in the recesses of your heart before you begin to see that outward evidence of what you've been exposed to, of what you're trying or not trying to grow. Amen? I mean, the same thing happens for a root. I mean, a weed, right? That weed's down there growing the same way in that garden. That weed's down there, and those tentacles are growing before you see it as well. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Lord just dealing with us and working in our hearts. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." If you sow good seed, you'll reap good seed. Amen. Right? If you sow bad seed, you'll reap bad seed. That's the principle. That's what we watch. That's what happens. You go through that process, and before you know it, that seed in your heart has begun to take root, and things start to happen, and you begin to see that plant. And it begins to become very evident on the outside. And other people can begin to see that thing very plainly. And they're able to distinguish it after a while for what it really is. Amen? Be it good or be it bad. It all started with this germination process. You get down to day 21 and look at that root system. Look at how it's spread out. Look at how it's grown. Look at how it continued to permeate that dirt. And that's what happens, folks, when you come to church and you hear a sermon on something good. And you take it to heart and you begin to water it and feed it. And it begins to grow. It begins to take hold in there. You may not see it on the outside at first, but if you give it enough time, it'll reach that process where it's so ingrained inside of you, on the outside it'll begin to sprout. And these things that you are trying to accomplish in your life will begin to show forth. Listen, what helps germination? Well, we know the basics. Moisture, right? Ephesians 5:26 says that they might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You say, what good is coming to church? Well, I tell you what good coming to church is. You come here, you sit down, we open up the Bible, you read the Bible. Sometimes it's the main point of the sermon. Sometimes it's a sub point of the sermon. Sometimes, quite frankly, it doesn't even have anything at all to do with what the sermon is about. But something in that sermon triggers another seed. Amen? Amen? And that seed is there now deep within the recesses of your heart. And the thing that you need for it to grow, for that, to help that termination, brethren, is you need to keep coming back. You need to keep reading your Bible day in, day out. You need to keep in fellowship with the Lord by through prayer. Why? Because the washing of the water with the Word. Right? The water washes. It provides nutrients. It helps you grow. The more Bible you get in, the more Bible you put in yourself, the more that seed is able to germinate, to take off, the more those root system begins to expand. Just being in and around the Bible. I mean, I know most of you have been exposed to the radio station, Final Fight Bible Radio, right? So it's on the internet. You've got a phone, you can have access to it. Final Fight Bible Radio. You know, you throw that thing on, they've got different channels on there you have access to as well. And they're pretty interesting. But, hey, you're just riding in your car, and what do you hear? You hear Bible. You hear preaching. You hear songs. You hear things that just, you know, begin to, that water begins to come in and nourish, and that moisture begins to help that seed germinate and grow. Another thing that helps germination is how deeply that seed has been planted in the soil. Here's where, listen, you can have the greatest message in the world, but if you don't really take it to heart and plant it in there deep enough for it to grow, the sun's going to scorch it. In Matthew 13, there was no depth, and it withered and dried away. Right? What are we talking about? We're talking about, how do I direct my life? Well, just like a plant grows. I start with a seed, and then I give it what it needs to germinate. I give it that water. I give it the right depth. I understand in the back of my mind that thing's taken roots and taken hold in my heart. Another thing that helps germination is good oxygen. If you're an athlete, if you ever run in any sports, you know how important oxygen is, right? If you're a scuba diver, you really know how important oxygen is. But John 6:63 says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. Well, brethren, what happens? You get in here and you come to church and that seed gets planted, and then you begin to listen to the Bible radio. You read just a little bit of Bible each day. You spend a little more time in prayer. You begin to immerse yourself in the Word, and you begin to get that water of the Word, and that seed that was planted through a sermon or through a lesson or through your Bible reading, that seed begins to be embedded into the soil far enough that it gets good nutrition, good nutrients. Right? And then that oxygen, the Spirit goes in, and the Spirit quickens. It makes it alive. I'm talking to Christians here primarily. Most of you I know are saved here this morning, but you go through this process, and that oxygen, you need oxygen. That plant absorbs the Spirit. I'm not talking in a crazy charismatic way, but it's true. Right? The Spirit of God has to work on your heart in order. Can you imagine trying to grow a garden with no oxygen? Doesn't work. Right? Well, that's what's happening. That oxygen comes in. Another thing that helps germination, folks, is you need things to be at the right temperature. Right? You need things to be at the right temperature. Now, there's different temperature ranges for almost every plant. Some overlap. Asparagus, for example. I don't know why you'd ever want to grow asparagus. But if someone did, they say that the optimal germination temperature is between 60 and 85 degrees. For a lima bean, it's between 75 and 85. For a tomato, it's between 65 and 85. For a watermelon, it's between 75 and 95. You get those watermelons, those lima beans down below about 60 degrees, and there's no germination. You get too hot, like over 105 for a watermelon, and there's no germination. When that thing takes, that seed gets planted in your heart, you know what you need to be at? You need to be at the right temperature. You need to be not too hot, not too cold. I'm not talking like Laodicea. I'm not talking lukewarm, that's a bad thing. But you need to be at the right temperature. Right? As you might expect, the percentage of seeds that germinate is maximum at that optimal temperature. In other words, you're right, you're balanced. You're at the right spot for that seed to grow. As the temperature starts to decline or advance, two things happen at the same time. The percentage of those seeds that actually germinate decreases. And it takes longer for those seeds that are going to germinate to germinate. What is that? Okay, you come to church. Brethren, you come to church and you're just hot. I mean, your temper's flaring. What's that going to do to anything that's supposed to germinate? It's going to either hinder it or help it, depending on what temperature you're at. Listen, things like anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, typically they germinate pretty well in a hot temper. Wouldn't you think? Right? When you're talking about Christian principles, you know, those kind of things, they typically terminate or germinate pretty well when that environment is there. Whereas things like patience, love, understanding, compassion, they usually need, let's just say, a little cooler condition. Amen? Just typical things you learn from farming. You come to church, okay, what's your temperature when you get here? What are you trying to accomplish? So there are things that hinder germination. Again, the wrong temperature. Can you imagine trying to learn and develop within your character and in your heart compassion and forgiveness when you're always angry? When you're too hot? It doesn't work. Now think of it on the negative side of germination. Listen, not only, we read this in Matthew, not only did the Lord, the good man, sow good seed, but what happens when the Lord sowed that seed and he left? The devil came along, and what did he do? Hey, he sowed his own seed. This is what you and I battle in the Christian life. The devil comes along, he sows that seed, and then the devil knows what temperature you need to be for his seed to grow and for the Lord's seed not to grow. And he'll prod you in that direction. He'll prod you in that direction. Why? Because he wants the tares to grow much better than the wheat. Right? Now, I'll grant you, a lot of times, some of both wind up growing. Okay, that's another sermon. Right? And some of them, sometimes they both grow together and the Lord says, wait till the end of the harvest, we'll get rid of those tares and then we'll just concentrate on the wheat. But what the devil would like is the devil would like to put you at a temperature where his seed grows and the Lord's doesn't. Amen? Listen, I tell you what else hinders your spiritual growth when it comes to good seed, bad soil. Right? That bad heart. Sometimes, sometimes that seed is by the wayside. Sometimes it's stony. All the different classifications. You come to church and your heart's not in the right spot. And maybe you're the right temperature. Maybe the temperature is perfect. But maybe the heart's a little hard. Things don't take root the way they should. Right? What are you talking about? We're talking about a Christian life. And ladies and gentlemen, just learning to be balanced in all these areas. Learning that when you come to church, when you sit down with your Bible, when you turn that radio on, when you hear good music, when you hear a sermon preached on the radio, anytime you're in contact with the Word of God, what you want is you got this delicate balance going on, and you need to optimize it. You need to be the right temperature. You need to have the right soil. You need to have the right heart, and then that germination process begins, and you don't see it right away. It takes a little while. It takes some time. And sometimes that gets discouraging. But unless the seed's a dud, which the Lord's not going to plant a dud, Right? Unless the seed's a dud, if you give it the right stuff, it'll begin to germinate. But if you give it the wrong temperature, if you get bad soil. Here's one that I found interesting. Sometimes a seed needs to be damaged. So there are some seeds that if they're not damaged, they won't germinate. I found that kind of interesting. Let me ask you this. Aren't there some lessons that you have learned because of a hard knock?
Yes, amen.
That maybe you didn't learn beforehand? Sometimes that outer coating of that seed, sometimes it just needs to be just scarred just a little bit. But there are some things in character and some traits that they're just really difficult for it to take hold unless you've experienced a little bit of damage. That's not a lot of fun. Things you learn from farmers. I wouldn't have thought about that one. Listen. Sometimes what hinders those seeds from growing is those seeds get stolen. They get put out, they get planted, the birds come along, and those pesky birds steal those seeds all the time. Right? In the Bible, the birds are likened to evil spirits in several places in your Bible. But listen, you come to church and the Lord plants a seed, and sometimes you leave this place and you have good intentions while you're here, and you leave this place and the devil comes along, brethren, and he takes it away. And you never get a chance to have it grow. Right? Sometimes what hinders those spiritual seeds, good spiritual seeds, from growing in your life is not enough light. Not enough light. Listen, it takes sunlight for that seed to germinate properly and to grow, right? Well, apply that spiritually. If you don't get enough water, you don't get enough nutrients, you don't get enough light, those spiritual principles that you're trying to develop in your life, and that sometimes you lay on your bed at night and you say, I wish I was this. I wish I could do that. I wish I didn't, right? I wish this would be better in my life. Hey, listen, sometimes maybe it just needs more light. So you look at those things and you know that seed's been planted. And you got to understand it's going to take a little bit of time. But sometimes, folks, there's other things in life that you miss out on that keeps those seeds from germinating. You need more light. How do you get more light? Hey, you got to expose yourself to the sun, right? You got to spend more time in the sun, right? I mean, all this stuff is very, very simple, very easy, very, you know, it is, you know, all the facts. But let me ask you this. How many of you are great at growing gardens and plants and you just have a green thumb? And a couple. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Good. But the vast majority of you didn't hold your hand up. Guess what? Spiritually, it's the same way. For some people, it comes a little bit easier. For the majority of us, man, if we want to have a good garden, we got to work at it. And we got to study. And we got to go out there. We got to analyze that soil. We got to take it into a professional or get a kit and analyze. What's the pH? And right, you got to take a look at your water. You send it off to be analyzed. You go, oh, no wonder I got cyanide in my water. it doesn't come naturally. I mean, it sounds really simple. Oh, plant a seed, put water in it, put some fertilizer on it, right? Make it grow. It'll be good. No problem. But for the majority of us, it takes work. It takes effort for this process to happen. Right? Obviously, another one that's, very evident is it doesn't get enough water. So when you're trying to develop those Christian principles in your life, you got something that you want to work on, And in your mind, you know, I should work on being more compassionate. I should work on being kind. I should work on being more obedient. I should work on being less selfish, more giving. The only way that thing's ever going to work is if you give it the right amount of water, right? You gotta infuse it with enough water for that process to take hold. Jesus answered that woman at the well and said unto her, "If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." You know, sometimes, you know what hinders sometimes our germination of good traits and good principles? Sometimes we don't just fully realize what a great trait that would actually be to develop. He told the woman at the well, "Listen, if you understood who was offering you this, and if you knew what it was I was offering you, you'd ask for it, and I'd give you living water." You know what hinders sometimes those seeds from taking root? Sometimes as Christians, we don't understand or don't, I guess, we don't fathom just how much the things that you hear at church or read in your Bible, just how much those things are going to ultimately affect your life 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. And so like a garden, sometimes the seed was planted, but we neglect it. And we don't put forth the work because we lost sight of what the fruit was going to be like. All right? What are we talking about? We're talking about, listen, just navigating our way through this Christian life and trying to figure out what direction I want to go. Well, it's like a garden. It's like a seed. It's been planted. It gets planted. And then I either water and then take care of or neglect that seed that's been planted. What about this? What about seeds that were the wrong seed? What do you do if you planted seeds back in the past, you know, the bad old days, and they took root? And those tentacles are now growing out. And they've now permeated that heart. What do you do if it was the wrong seed that got planted? Well, you take away the things that help it grow. Amen? You take away whatever's feeding it. Right? You let it dry up. You deprive it of its nutrients. Right? You deny it sunlight. How do you get rid of bad habits? How do you take a look at your life again? This process of reaping and sowing, listen, the principle works for good and bad habits, right? But you know as much as I do, if you take care of something, you're going to produce more fruit than if you don't take care of it, right? Right? If you take care of that orchard, you take care of that thing, and you feed it with the Word of God, and you feed it with the Holy Spirit, that oxygen, and you put all the right stuff into it, and you monitor it, and you tend to it. Listen, that thing is going to grow, and you're going to produce the maximum amount of fruit by doing that. If you neglect it, if you deprive it, it's going to dry up. It's going to wither away. And there may very well be some fruit that's produced, but not as much. All right. So what do you do with those bad things that have ingrained themselves in your heart? You know what you do, brethren? You start by just taking away the things that help it grow. Amen. You just deprive it of its nutrients. You deny it sunlight. Just because a habit's developed, you don't have to continue it. Right? Just like a farmer. Hey, we'll take the bad stuff and we'll deny it what it needs to grow. We'll take the good stuff, we'll provide what it needs to grow. same way in the Christian life. You starve the sin. But that right seed, that good seed, that thing that you know the Lord's trying to get to grow and develop in your life, brethren, you feed that one then. You fertilize that one. And you fuss over it. You know how you grow spiritually? Right? You get the process of germination here, and you see what happens spiritually in our lives. But spiritually, I just take and put forth the effort and the time, and I study and I learn. If it's not growing, what's wrong? What am I missing? What did I, you know, is there something in the soil that I'm not aware of? As in my heart. I test it. How do you test it? By the Bible. Oh, the reason this isn't growing is because I've got this in my heart right next to it. Okay, well, I take care of this. Right? I focus on what I want to grow there. And I give it what it needs. I give it that extra help. I give it that extra little boost. And that's what you're doing when you come to church every day. Every time you come in here, you know what you're giving, you know what you're doing? You're feeding the good things a little bit more. A little more nutrients, a little more sunlight, a little more water. You know, you say, "I don't have light on everything. I don't understand everything." Well, okay. We're not at that point yet. When we get to heaven, we'll be there. For right now, I just give it as much light as I can. And I feed it, and I watch it germinate. And I watch that seed grow. I don't know, brethren, whether this is going to work or not. But I'm going to try. All right? I'm going to try and see if I can get this going. And I want you to think about the Lord, how He works with you, and what He's been dealing. Oops, it's not going to work. Had this happen before. I don't know why let me try this. I was really hoping this would work. Nope, it's not going to work. I apologize. I had a video of that thing going from day one all the way through. And the amazing thing about it is you see that root go down. And it's kind of harder to see in the pictures, but when you watch it in real life, what happens is that root starts going down and it starts wiggling its way through the heart and branching off. And each one of those branches start creating branches. And that root network just goes down and just locks that plant in place. And brethren, that's what happens with traits that we're trying to work on as Christians. All right? You examine your life, you look at your life and say, "Okay, Lord, what are you dealing with me on?" And then you help that thing to germinate. Or you look at your garden and you go, "You know, there's some weeds there that we need to get rid of. There's some things I need to maybe pull out by the root. There's some things, maybe I need to change up the soil composition. Maybe I need to deny the things that help this particular weed from growing." Why? Because eventually it's going to choke out the good stuff that I want in my life. I mean, if your garden is all weeds and no plants, right? All weeds and no good plants, you're not going to have much of a garden. Same with our Christian life. We look at these characteristics, and just like a seed this time of year, we plant that seed and it begins to grow. It takes a little while, right? It takes time. You don't see the evidence of it. But what's happening inside of your heart, good or bad, begins to reach out and take hold. And later on, you begin to see the evidence of it. And it's much, much easier to germinate the right things to begin with than it is to have to go back and try to get those weed roots out. How many of you have ever been out in the garden and you reach down, you see that weed, you reach down, and your intent is to pull the weed out by the root? But what do you wind up doing most of the time? You break it off, and the root's still in the ground, isn't it? And then what happens? It grows right back. Brethren, that's the Christian life. That's the Christian life. Those things grow in that garden you don't want growing there. And you try to get them out, and you think you got it out. And you look at it, and you go, I got the root. But I didn't get all the root. And you go around another week or two later, a month or two, or a year or two later, and you realize, oh, that thing's sprouting back up again. And a Christian life is a constant process, brethren, of just tending our garden. Right? We feed the good, we starve the bad. We feed the good, we starve the bad. And it's just a continuous process that we go through. It's never ending. You can do this for the rest of your life. Feed the good, starve the bad. And about the time you think, you've got it all done and you harvest it and everything's looking good, winter comes, everything freezes, and then you start again new in the spring next year. Amen? But that's where we're at. We're in the spring. And I would just say, brethren, make sure you tend to your garden. Make sure you tend to your garden. Because things are going to germinate or they're going to terminate. Amen? Amen? That's the Christian life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for, again, another Sunday morning. We can just gather around the Word of God. Certainly, Father, there are things in our lives that we need to tend to. Either to encourage growth and to feed and fertilize and water. There are other things, Father, that we need to try to get rid of. Pray that you would give us the strength, give us the courage. You spent a lot of time in the book of Matthew. Father, right in just chapter 13, you had three different parables, and all of them had to do with seeds growing so that we could learn these lessons. Pray that we might be able to apply them. Help it to make us better Christians, closer to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.